The headlines. Tehran says political divisions within the U.S. are preventing Washington from making political decisions in the Vienna talks, adding that should not result in the violation of Iran's rights. Iran unveils a new long-range ballistic missile capable of hitting targets within a range of 1,450 kilometers. And Israeli forces attack Palestinians protesting against Tuesday's killing of three Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Ali Shamkhani, says political divisions within the U.S. ruling establishment prevent Washington from making political decisions needed to advance the JCPOA revival talks in Vienna. In a Twitter post, Shamkhani said the U.S. government cannot make up for its domestic crises by violating the rights of the Iranian people. A few days ago, the U.S. granted a series of sanctions waivers to Iran, but now some Republican lawmakers are expressing outrage at Washington over that decision. In a classified testimony before Congress of U.S. Special Envoy for Iran, Robert Malley, Republican lawmakers have called for a public hearing. They said the Biden administration has not been transparent about the process of its conduct regarding the JCPOA. The U.S. unilaterally withdrew from the accord in 2018, and now Tehran is calling for guarantees against any violations in the future. Well, let's get a correspondent joining us from Vienna. So, Hama, at this point, we know that talks are ongoing. Tell us about that and also what we're dealing with when it comes to U.S. lawmakers.
Yes, so today, as this eighth round is continuing, as you say, here in Vienna, the head of Iran's delegation, Mr. Bagheri Tani, had another brief meeting with EU coordinator Enrica Mora. And last night, there was also extensive talks between the Iranian team and the EU, with the presence of the E3 representatives as well, the three European countries, Britain, France, and Germany. And we're hearing that among the remaining issues that still need to be worked out and are being discussed are the first implementation or sequencing of steps to go back to full compliance, both by Iran and the Americans, when each step will be taken, how, and also the issue of nuclear commitments by Iran. Iran insisting via various sources and also officially that it will not give up its right to research and development, for instance, when it comes to the work it's been doing on the production and use of advanced centrifuges. Of course, the JCPOA does not allow Iran to make use of advanced centrifuges, but it does not stop Iran to conduct its research and development activity when it comes to producing these centrifuges on working on them for research purposes. At the same time, there are still, we're hearing, differences when it comes to the issue of sanctions, both the scope of sanctions that need to be removed and also verification and guarantees. So what you just mentioned there, the issue with the U.S. lawmakers, we are now hearing the increasing pressure on the Biden administration. A letter from Republican senators saying that if the Biden administration goes ahead with this agreement and the JCPOA revival, they will try and block it, openly saying that. However, some analysts are saying that it may actually not be legally possible for the 10 senators to do that. We know, of course, that when the JCPOA was signed in 2015, it did undergo a process during which U.S. lawmakers reviewed it and did not raise any objections to it. And a lot of political observers currently looking at the case now say that this revival of the JCPOA cannot be interpreted as a new agreement, as a restoration of the agreement that has already been approved. And indeed, Iran has been saying that what it wants is returning to the original JCPOA, nothing going over and beyond that. Also, some have been saying that this increasing pressure that's being played out in the media, both when it comes to what the Republicans are saying against the deal, and also what the Americans themselves, the American team is saying when it comes to the issue of time, could be part of a campaign to put pressure on the Iranian team here and get more concessions. Overall, what we're hearing from a lot of sides now, and most recently Joseph Borrell, the EU foreign policy chief, is that they believe we are reaching the last steps, the final stages, and he said he hopes that we can reach an agreement for a conclusion of these talks within the next weeks. He said he couldn't say whether it's going to be in 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. But now there are talks that by the end of this month, this could happen. What the Iranian sources are saying is that they're not going to back down from their position. What they want, I'll quickly add here, and it's very important for the Iranian team, is the issue of guarantees. When we're talking about guarantees, we're talking about what aspects could be included in the deal that would make it reliable, because this was seen as a shortcoming. There was a verification process when it comes to Iran's commitments to the International Atomic Energy Agency. How can we put that same verification process for the effective removal of sanctions? And how can we guarantee that there will be severe consequences if the U.S. withdraws or violates the deal, reimposes sanctions? These are the issues that are still up for discussion. Carver.
Thank you for that. Homolesky there from Vienna. Many thanks. Moving on, Iran has unveiled a new long-range ballistic missile to mark the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. The missile, dubbed Khaybar Shekan, is able to hit targets within a range of 1,450 kilometers with pinpoint accuracy. It can also penetrate into missile shields with high maneuverability. The projectile is classified in the third generation of long-range missiles developed by the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. In recent years, Iran has made great advances in its missile program, which it says is entirely defensive. Israeli forces attack Palestinian protesters, venting anger at Tuesday's killing of three Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. The clashes erupted as Palestinians are on a general strike in several occupied cities. Stores and businesses are also closed in the city of Nablus, where Israeli forces gunned down three people in a broad daylight. Resistance groups had called for the strike to protest the regime's nonstop crimes. Today we're joined by our Ramallah correspondent Mona Kondil. She says Palestinian resistance groups are calling for an international inquiry into the Israeli killing of three more Palestinians in the occupied West Bank.
The crime that was carried out yesterday in the city of Nablus, when three Palestinian youths were killed by Israeli forces in cold blood. At the time, the Israeli soldiers or the Israeli regime had claimed that those three had been taking part in shootings against Israeli soldiers. Israeli forces raided Al-Makhfiyeh neighborhood in day and killed those Palestinians while they were in their vehicle in cold blood. The Palestinian Authority, Palestinian government, as well as the different political and Islamic factions denounced the killing of those three Palestinian youths from the city of Nablus, describing what happened as an assassination. And the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs had called for an international inquiry and held the Israeli regime completely responsible for this crime, because the Israeli soldiers didn't try to arrest those Palestinians. If it's true, as they claim, that they were taking part in shootings against Israeli soldiers at the numerous of checkpoints in the occupied West Bank, then they have a right to be at least arrested and investigated. However, there was a clear, order from the Israeli military establishment to kill those Palestinians in the spot.
The Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement says Israel's drone operations over the Lebanese sky have considerably decreased since the resistance group activated its air defense system.
And for the first time, we are actually increasing the activities when it comes to the air defense system. And up until now, we have great results. In the last 2 years, since we began this procedure, I can tell you and the viewers today that this Israeli activity has deteriorated or has decreased at a high level. We can see in the numbers the number of drones that were before and after, for example, in the area of Bekaa, where we used to see on a daily basis, and in South Lebanon as well, it has also decreased at a very high level. I cannot say that in South Lebanon.
In an interview with Iran's Al Alam TV, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah added that Hezbollah will use all sorts of weapons to counter Israeli threats. He underlined that Tel Aviv would not have hesitated for a moment to wage a war in Lebanon if the regime was certain about its victory over Hezbollah. Nasrallah stressed that the resistance movement has no fear of a war with Israel and will respond to its military offensives decisively. The UK and the European Union are embroiled in a fresh standoff over post-Brexit trade arrangements. The British Premier once again is threatening to take action and suspend customs checks on some goods moving to Northern Ireland. Boris Johnson says that the UK will trigger Article 16 of the Northern Ireland Protocol if the bloc does not show, quote, requisite common sense. The clause enshrined in the Brexit deal allows either side to suspend any part of the protocol that causes serious economic, societal, or environmental difficulties. Under the protocol, checks are required on goods coming into Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK. It has been at the center of a dispute between London and Brussels since coming into effect at the start of 2021. From North America to Europe to Australia, protests against vaccination and COVID restrictions have become a regular sight. Now hundreds of New Zealanders have faced off with police outside of the country's parliament in the capital, Wellington. People took to the streets for the second consecutive day on Wednesday. Protesters, most of them unmasked, vowed to camp outside parliament as long as COVID curbs remain in force. The police encircled the parliament building and pushed the protesters back. Local officials say three protesters were also arrested as they tried to break through the police barricade. The protest is said to be inspired by similar demonstrations in the Canadian capital, where truckers are in the streets for days against the government's vaccine mandates and other COVID-related measures. Colombia rescue workers are struggling to find survivors who might be trapped under debris following a landslide. The landslide has buried several homes in a western town. At least 14 people have lost their lives and 35 others were wounded. Authorities are urging people to leave the area as there is still risk of further landslides. The disaster was triggered by heavy rainfall. Landslides are common in the mountainous Colombia, especially during the rainy season. The Islamic Revolution in 1979 replaced Iran's monarchy with an Islamic establishment that has been governing the country since then. Danjuma Abdullahi reports on the impact of the revolution in Nigeria.
When the Iranian Islamic Revolution took place in 1979, prominent Nigerian Islamic cleric Sheikh Ibrahim al-Zazaki was a young university student preaching against immorality. He says that the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran and the leader of the revolution, Imam Khomeini, were sources of inspiration to many young Nigerians.
It makes us, you know, it boosts our morale and it makes us feel that what we have been yearning and aspiring is realizable. It's possible since it has been realized elsewhere. You know, the success of the revolution was, a turning point in modern history.
Professor Sadiq Abba was also a young student who cared about the common good for all Nigerians and said that the Islamic Revolution was based on knowledge and the collective willpower on the Iranian people.
The Iranian Revolution is a revolution that sprang up to address global injustice, global inequalities, and global socioeconomic exploitation and expropriations by the Western world.
Dr. Imam Mukhtar says the 1979 Islamic Revolution was a change that was inspired by Iranians who have had enough. Experts believe that one of the significant outcomes of the 1979 Islamic Revolution was turning Iran into a power in the Middle East region with even influence in global affairs. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
For decades after the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Yemenis say that they are still being inspired by that event and, most importantly, its key role in supporting the Palestinian cause. Abdul Latif al-Washali reports from Sana'a.
As Iranians celebrate the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution that transformed their country from a U.S. ally to a bitter opponent, Yemenis are still facing a deadly U.S.-backed war. This has urged Yemeni politicians to try to learn more about the Islamic Revolution and its stance against U.S. hegemony.
The region was about to fall prey to the American Zionist project, and the Arab regimes would have given up on the Palestinian cause, resulting in the further oppression of the Palestinians and the deterioration of the Arabs' dream of liberation from American hegemony. The Islamic Revolution turned Iran into the first country to be freed from U.S. dependence. It created a psychological balance among the people. As for the Arab puppet regimes, they feared the danger of the people and delayed their normalization with the Zionists. Today, Muslims are aware of U.S. dominating policies and find liberation necessary.
Yemeni politicians and scholars say the Islamic Revolution keeps on inspiring Yemeni people to stand against the U.S. and its supported forces in the region, just as they did on their September 21st revolution 8 years ago.
I still remember the outbreak of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. I was studying in secondary school and Arab people were constantly talking about it. Women wore t-shirts with the image of Imam Khomeini. But given the importance of this revolution, many Arab dictators started to ban the clothes that had the image of Imam Khomeini on them. And this is one of the first memories that they have of the Islamic Revolution. The Yemeni people have learned a lot from the Islamic Revolution in Iran. It encouraged them to stand against the colonial policies in their own country. And this also sparked their revolution of September 21st, 2014.
Since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iran has always been a strong supporter of the Palestinian cause and has marked the International Quds Day, and now it is also standing beside the people of Yemen in the US-backed Saudi led war against them.
Observers say all the free people of the world must look up to the Islamic Revolution of Iran and follow in the footsteps of its leaders in order to stand against the U.S. hegemony. They say the Islamic Revolution will remain a source of pride for all Yemenis. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
And that is it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
Epic, glory, honor. This is Bahman, the month which reminds us of love and empathy.
غیرت شور غزل غزل آی بنو از ابتدا تا انتها مردمی از جنس غرور
اگر از ما چیزی را
See the world through IRIB English Radio, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Islamic Revolution, Youth and Scientific Progress. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are in the 10 days done, the period marking the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979. The Islamic Revolution has seen three generations since its formation. The first generation includes those who were young in 1963 when Imam Khomeini started his movement against the despotic regime and was sent to exile. This generation administered the society in the toughest conditions of the revolution and successfully saved it from deviations despite various conspiracies. The second generation is composed of youths who are the motor of the Islamic Revolution and, with little arms but full belief in Imam Khomeini's path and ideals, overcame the Iraqi Ba'athist regime during the eight-year imposed war. After the war, they entered the field of construction and played major role in making and implementing macro decisions and plans. And finally, the third generation includes the young men and women who have no experience of revolution or war, but have grown up in the zealous climate of the society and deem it as the right to take part in every decision related to the fate of the country. Serious pursuit of progress, seeking development, innovation, and sprightliness are some of the features of this generation. Self-belief and self-esteem are among the bases of dignity and success. Youth in the best period of their life can take over huge jobs and create marvels. Self-reliance and thriving of the youth today are originated in the identity that the Islamic Revolution has granted them. Experts and theorists who write on the roots of the Islamic Revolution believe that the Iranian people's reaction to the historic humiliation by despotic rulers and their foreign masters was among the causes of the revolution. During the Pahlavi rule, the Iranian nation was humiliated to the extent that the American officials and advisors living in Iran had forced the Iranian government to pay them money as the right of savagery. In other words, they had considered Iranians as semi-humans and had told the Pahlavi regime, "We are doing you a favor to live among you, so you should pay us." Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, as a vigilant and wakeful leader, didn't tolerate this magnitude of humility and called on people to stage uprising against the regime and its masters. The Imam said, "What is important is that you should consider two things which I have mentioned several times. One is to rely in Almighty God, who will help you if you want to work for Him. And the other one is to self-dependence, relying on yourselves. You are the youth who can do everything." The present leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has continued the path of Imam Khomeini to inspire hope and identity to the young generation. He considers strengthening of self-belief and thriving of the talents of the young generation as the important achievements of the Islamic Revolution. He believes that the revolution has broken the chains of scientific dependence and egotism among the youth. This has set the ground for scientific growth and prosperity, he says. Before the revolution, the youth and others would not be given the chance for scientific innovation and creativity. But the revolution revived the force of independence and self-reliance in the society. The Islamic Revolution has managed to give scientific growth to this country. Our scientific growth during this very tough period, in comparison with our country's scientific growth through the 50 to 60 years in which the world has managed to get the most scale of scientific growth and move, has been manifold higher. We'll be right back. 43 years after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the concepts of self-belief and return to oneself have shaped the Iranian people's character. Independence is no more an imaginary ideal for this people. It can be seen in most aspects of their life and among their young scientists and researchers. Today, young students can create many things that once they would think as impossible and out of reach. Iranian young generation has achieved great successes in many scientific and technological fields. Some of these successes include nanotechnology, laser, neo-combinant medicines, anti-cancer medicines, stem cells, and designing tracing homo robots. To these, one should add the astounding breakthroughs in military industries, which have been fully indigenized thanks to the efforts of the Iranian youth. The latest achievement of the Iranian young researchers is related to the plague of the 21st century, COVID-19 coronavirus. The Iranian health and medical centers, despite being under the cruel American sanctions, started serious study and research on the disease, and the round-the-clock attempts resulted in production of various vaccines. Therefore, the Islamic Republic of Iran is now among the six countries which have been able to produce the anti-coronavirus vaccine. Ayatollah Khamenei says, "If a nation does not come to its senses, does not make itself strong, others will bully it." There are some nations which are far away from being strong. There is no hope for them to intend to create the force to confront the bullies and ruffians of the world. But our nation is not like that.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Tümen. Yani?
Bazaar. Iran has many natural resources. Some are agricultural and some other are natural wonders enjoyed by tourists and locals alike. Still, other resources have to be extracted by mining. The mining industry is a very important component of the economic health of Iran, contributing billions in a given year. This modern industry is also heavily dependent on the discoveries and innovations made by knowledge-based companies. These firms are often pioneers of development, opening new horizons for industries while making industrial processes more efficient and less costly. Hello again and welcome to another edition of Bazaar with me, Sarah Dema. One of the biggest capacities of Iran is its rich natural resources. Yes, we are talking about mines. They have brought tremendous profits while creating numerous jobs. This week, we will look at the mining industry and some of its related traits. We also want to uncover how this industry continues to expand and who is helping with its development. So let's start the show. There are thousands of mines in the country, but before extracting material and using it, samples first need to be taken to labs for analysis. We visited a knowledge-based company that specializes in testing mineral, soil, and water samples from mines. Zar Azma was first established in 2006 and was created because of a lack of such services inside the country. Previously, analyzing samples from mines was outsourced abroad, but now domestic sample analysis has never been as advanced as it is today. Using the latest technology, this company analyzes samples on an industrial scale with speed, precision, and high-quality testing. Most of the machines have been imported, as well as transferring the analysis know-how from other countries. It mainly provides services to the mining industry and some of its related trades. Samples are sent from mines nationwide to the advanced labs for titration. This is a common lab method of quantitative chemical analysis that determines the concentration of a substance. This massive facility has several departments, each dedicated to a specific activity and equipped with quality control processes. After crushing, samples are processed into liquids, either using high temperatures or alkaline melting. Then they are fed to high-tech machines for analysis. These machines provide a sample profile showing what materials and in what percentage are present. It's important to get a detailed survey of material in mining areas. The industry routinely collects samples to assist with decision-making. This data helps with exploration, resource estimation, grade control, or plant design and balances. Indigenizing sample analysis services have saved the country millions of dollars in outsourcing so far. This has also sped up many processes as the industry no longer has to wait months for analysis results. Typically, when a sale transaction of mining material is to take place, the sample profile must be presented. A profile shows some criteria, such as the purity and concentration of a material, revealing the quality of the batch. The results are also used to determine whether samples match up with international standardizations. This is important information used for exports and imports of mining material. This knowledge-based firm has labs in three other provinces, including the mining heartland of Kerman. Its test results are trusted by the Ministry of Industry, Mining and Trade, the National Environmental Protection Agency,
Mining Investment Insurance Corporation, and the National Copper Industries Corporation, among many others. This knowledge-based company also collaborates with research and academic institutions. Some 200 people are employed at these labs directly, and nearly 500 others work indirectly for this company. One of the competitive advantages is its rapid and reliable mineral testing. Plus, its highly developed quality control methods is what keeps them relevant in the market. Nearly 75% of all samples in the country are analyzed at these high-tech labs at affordable costs. Also, it has helped develop and expand Iranian mining sectors through its dependable lab studies. As part of its future vision, this knowledge-based company hopes to launch laboratories in neighboring regions. It also welcomes mineral samples from abroad for analysis. Iran is one of the most important mineral producers in the world. Here is an interesting fact that there are 60 billion tons of mineral reserves in the country. Roughly 40 billion tons of that total are proven reserves, meaning they are mineable. Iron, coppers, zinc, aluminum, and other minerals are also extracted from 6,000 mines in the country. The mining sector has made big strides in recent years, but it is still developing. Figures from the National Geological Survey and Mineral Exploration Agency show last year over 400 million tons of minerals were extracted. Aside from metal materials, the country is rich in construction materials too. Gravel, decorative stones, marble, sand, and cement make up over 60% of the country's mineral reserves. The government has been developing production capacities through various programs while expanding the sector's exploration projects to this end. One of these plans is to revive idle mines. Out of 10,000 mines in the country, around 4,000 of them are idle. It's noteworthy, over the last 2 years, some 500 small-scale idle mines have been brought back to life. That's based on the Iranian Mines and Mining Industries Development and Renovation Organization. One of the benefits of the ongoing revival plan has been the rise in nationwide employment. Presently, well over 100,000 miners are at work in the sector. You might find it interesting to know that Iran holds the largest zinc reserves. Plus, it has the 9th largest copper reserves and the 10th largest iron ore and uranium reserves. With 7% of global mineral reserves, the export of mineral products generates millions in foreign revenue annually. But export figures could be much higher if the raw material is developed further with added value. Numerous industries use raw materials provided by the mining sector. In the first half of 2020 alone, Iran was credited for producing 50% of the world's sponge iron. The majority of iron is used in the domestic steel industry. Last year, the World Steel Association ranked Iran as the 10th largest steel maker in the world. Figures showed that last year, over 55 million tons of mineral products were exported. The value of these exports was nearly $8 billion. The organization estimates that this year's export values will be much higher. We all know what it feels like to be sick. You feel sluggish, fatigued, or lose your appetite, and perhaps become more sensitive to pain and cold. Many times, people can treat themselves at home with self-care and homemade remedies. Other times, a trip to the doctor does the trick. But even then, some ailments require more advanced interventions for diagnosis and therapies provided by hospitals. This is where medical devices come in handy. The health sector is mainly dependent on the accuracy and zero failure of advanced medical technology to get the job done. This time, we're going to take you through Iran's high-tech medical device productions. We wanted to see who the big players in this specialized market are and check out their activities in the medical health sector. Plus, we wanted to see why this market continues to burgeon and uncover how scientific advancements are contributing to the national economy. Let's start the show. Our quest for answers led us on a journey to the Science and Research Park of Isfahan, where we visited Behyar Sanat-e Sepahan. It was first established over two decades ago and now manufactures over 80 types of high-tech medical equipment and products. Its products cover a range of medical devices like hospital furniture, surgical tables, and lighting systems. But its main claim to fame is its advanced nuclear technology, such as the medical linear accelerator. This machine is commonly used for radiation treatments for cancer patients by delivering high-energy X-rays or electrons to the region of a patient's tumor. It's worth mentioning that this device costs roughly $3 to $4 million in foreign markets. This company can manufacture the linear accelerator at a third of this price. Plus, 90% of the device components are homegrown in Isfahan province. This company also makes other types of nuclear medical technology, such as the U-arm and ceiling-mounted radiation therapy equipment. But that's not all. They manufacture security and inspection systems used in airports, such as X-ray machines and handheld metal detectors as well. Developing indigenous technology of its kind has saved the country millions of dollars on imports and has benefited many patients so far. It might be interesting to know that the technology for creating radiation therapy devices has been generally monopolized by the United States, Britain, and China. Iran is the fourth country in the world to be able to domestically manufacture such complex and sensitive nuclear technology. And this is all thanks to massive advancements in Iran's research and academic circles. The beating heart of this company is its research and development department. This knowledge-based firm employs over 500 engineers and specialists, such as medical physicists, oncologists, and dosimetrists, among others. This firm also collaborates with the National Atomic Energy Organization, the Vice Presidential Office for Science and Technology, Ministry of Health, and Isfahan University of Medical Sciences. Dependability and accuracy of its products are key components in delivering high-quality performance. As such, this knowledge-based manufacturer makes its products along international guidelines for quality and safety. It has received its certifications and production permits from the Ministry of Health and Medical Education and National Medical Device Directorate, among many more. As part of its future vision, this firm is eyeing neighboring markets for exports, which are currently facing high demands for linear accelerators. Their ultimate goal is to elevate the quality of lives of people through creating technology that treats ill patients. The products of this company are vital for the treatment of cancer. Due to the cruel sanctions, many restrictions have been placed on Iran's purchase and imports of this equipment and its supporting services. This knowledge-based firm sees the sanctions as an opportunity for growth and advancing scientific knowledge inside the country. Now, medical devices are considered a fundamental component of the healthcare system, and their benefits continue to increase with the advancements of scientific discovery. Iran is globally ranked fourth in the engineering of 1,000 of medical devices, and this sector is thriving in the country. But you don't have to take my word for it. Let's check out some statistics and figures in this field. Domestic medical device production has grown by 213% since 2019, reducing imports by 10% in the same period. Plus, exports of medical devices are up by 10% this year. Over 2,000 different types of medical devices and supplies are domestically produced under the license of the Ministry of Health based on EU standards. That's all based on figures from the Medical Equipment Office at the Ministry of Health. Based on the Medical Device Directorate, there are roughly 1,000 medical device manufacturers nationwide. These companies provide 30% of revenues in the domestic medical device market. The directorate also says export revenues were well over $24 million this year. But the goal is to generate nearly $1 billion in revenues in the coming years. These statistics have been largely credited to governmental support for the development of knowledge and research companies. Several policies have been implemented over the years to help in businesses in their efforts to create new products and increase their exports. The Ministry of Science, Research and Technology recently launched a focus plan to help companies with international standardizations. This program assesses the compatibility of the Iranian knowledge-based products with global markets under the World Trade Organization standards. The plan aims to attract foreign investments. Government officials and industry participants say it's a significant step towards keeping high-tech medical devices and products relevant in the international arena. Iran exports its medical devices and products to numerous countries across the globe. But scores of people from abroad also visit Iran to benefit from the cutting-edge technologies and the excellent medical service. This is called medical tourism. The National Center for Developing Health Tourism says Iran has the potential to earn $7 billion annually from this sector. These days, medical tourism is considered a booming industry as some 24 million patients travel for medical treatments around the globe every year. Patients Without Borders Publishing Group puts the global value at around $90 billion. And Iran is a major destination for health tourism in the region because of the rapid investment in healthcare infrastructure in order to satisfy surging demands. Iran's two popular medical tourist destinations are Tehran and Mashhad. Other popular destinations include the city of Shiraz and Isfahan, but the coronavirus outbreak has significantly reduced the number of travelers. Industry participants say medical tourism is a win-win opportunity both for the country and foreign patients. This is because Iran offers affordable and quality treatment services. While many visit the country for cosmetic surgery, Iran is also known for its organ transplants, heart and neurosurgeons, among other life-saving medical treatments. The government has set goals to increase annual medical travelers to around 2 million over the next 4 years. Before the coronavirus pandemic hit, Iran hosted a record-breaking 600,000 medical travelers in 2019. That's according to the Medical Tourism Department at the Ministry of Health. The ministry says these tourists generated over $1 billion in foreign currency. Simply put, wheat is part of the grass family. Some have argued that wheat domesticated mankind, bringing humans away from the colorful and adventurous hunter-gatherer lifestyle and settling them permanently next to their fields. It is also said that wheat is responsible for the agricultural revolution. It has supplied the calories that made it possible for the world's population to race toward 8 billion people. Presently, wheat is grown on more land areas across the world than any other food crop. All right, everyone, it's time for me to pass it over to my dear colleague out there on the field for an exciting adventure. Take it away.
In Iran, you're legally not allowed to cut a tree, even if it's damaging your personal residence, unless you have a permit from the municipality. But even with a permit, you wouldn't want to kill the tree if there's a way to relocate it safely. That's where companies like Ditan Tadbir step in to get you out of trouble. With its professionally trained arborists, the 15-year-old firm offers all kinds of tree transplanting and tree moving services using the latest technology. The idea of launching the company struck the mind of its CEO and his teenagers when he was engrossed in finding a way to save Mother Nature. Ditan Tadbir holds a record in the number of mature tree transplants in Iran. It has so far relocated 40,000 broad-leaved and coniferous trees across the country. Aside from offering tree care and transplant services, the company also grows a variety of plant species, including trees with aerial roots. Ditan Tadbir has under its belt a dedicated team of certified arborists. They are, in fact, your tree doctors who apply their advanced skills to ensure the safety and health of your trees. The Iranian brand says it does not stop at this point and aims to expand its team with the ultimate goal of making a name for itself in the regional market. Transplanting is a complex and often risky process, so you want to be sure you're putting the work in the hands of a professionally trained arborist. And Ditan Tadbir says its team is always there to give you a hand.
Without further ado, let's dive right into some interesting news and trends regarding Iran's mining and mineral production industry. We have talked about mining a lot throughout the program. Let's take a look at some major mining development projects in this field.
Several development projects worth $1.6 billion were inaugurated in Kerman province over the summer. These include a steel production complex, a coke production system, and a copper cathode production unit, among others. Additionally, a lime and dolomite complex has been added to the mix. These projects also include the installation of industrial machines. Some 4,000 jobs were created too.
Along the lines of mining development, the industry requires more machinery to help get the job done.
2% of the machinery needed in the industry has been supplied last year, 1% of which was domestically produced and the rest was imported. That's according to Tehran's Chamber of Commerce, Industries, Mines and Agriculture Industry. Data from the Chamber of Commerce shows that domestic miners need 25,000 machineries in the next 4 years. The supply of these items will cost around $6 billion.
Exploration in the mining industry is paying off. About 1 billion tons of new iron ore reserves have been identified in Iran over the past 6 years.
The share of these discoveries from the entire iron ore reserves is 33%. That's according to figures published by the Iranian Mines and Mining Industries Development and Renovation Organization. The country's total reserves of iron ore presently stand at nearly 3 billion tons. The report reveals explorations for more reserves are still underway in 30 provinces.
And that wraps up our program for today. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time on another edition of Bazaar.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat or BAT 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastorday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.